Good morning. Boy, we say it every week, and I know you know it, but I pray that you really feel it, that you're not here by mistake. You're here by design, that God has a reason and a purpose for you being here today. And as we gather this morning, especially within that, we have the opportunity again to celebrate communion. And in just a moment, Joy is going to come and share with us. But when we talk about communion, there's really the issue of us coming together as a family, united, connected by the table, by this meal that we share. And that the admonition there is to examine yourselves to make sure that you're worthy. I grew up in a church where that worthy meant that I didn't do anything wrong. And if I did something wrong, I better confess it like everything and remember everything right then, otherwise I can't take communion. But that's not grace. That's not what it means. There are only two fashions of where you look to find yourself or whether you, as Paul said, that you drink and eat unworthily. One is that you don't know the Lord as your Savior. And today, if you're here, you don't bring any worthiness. And that should be good, because it's all about His worth. His imputed righteousness that He gives to us when we bear His name, when we want to know Him, when we give Him our life. He makes us worthy to come to this table. It's not in our own arrogance or our pride. It's not what we bring, it's what He's done. Now, Paul also said that in this table, there were those at times that he said, I have no praise for you. Why? He says, because some of you come and you esteem yourself better than others. You don't value everybody. He says, when you come to this table, there's neither Democrat, Republican, independent, slave, free, Scythian, barbarian, Jewish, Greek, whatever it may be, there's nothing that comes to this table. All of that's laid, because when we come to this table at the cross, when we see what God has done for us, we come all as the same people in need of a Savior. And so today, as we come to take this, celebrate, really to celebrate the Lord's death until He comes, until He returns again, when we celebrate that, we come, but we come as needy people that is only given grace and is given, being in Christ, gives us our significance today. And that's what we celebrate. We don't worship the band. We don't worship just coming on Sundays. The only one worth adoration is the Lord Jesus. That we come, and God the Father, and God the Spirit, and God the Son, that we celebrate what the Lord has done for us and will do in us from that. Joy, if you'd come. Hi, Joy. How are you? I know you hate this, huh?
Well, I didn't like singing Amazing Grace and then being up here because I'll blubber.
Can you choose another word rather than blubber? You know, Paul, that music guy over there, that guy over there, you know, I know you know him well. Yeah. However, when we practice, this is just like, this is free, okay? The band knows that he uses songs like that, Pastor Bill, you bring girth to our music. Pastor Bill, you bring weight to it. Does he have to? And then you get up here and you say blubber. Okay, I'm not trying to change the mood here, but yeah. Between the two of you, no more collusion, okay? No more. No. Joy, you know, you are, well, I won't even go to where you are to us and to our church and what you mean, but would you share with us what this table that we're going to do, and the ladies in just a moment are going to serve us, what it means to you? What does this communion mean to you? What does it say to you?
When I first realized that I didn't have to be perfect to come to this table, it was so refreshing. How many years I sat in a particular church and I had to go to confession and I had to, oh, it was so difficult. And when God was so gracious and He said, you're saved by grace, by faith. You don't have to do that. So right now, if you're sitting in these chairs and you've never really said, just say it inside of you. God, forgive me, and I do love you. I do believe in you, and that makes you worthy to accept this. And that is so awesome. His grace is good enough for all of us. So you don't have to be frightened, and you don't have to be afraid that He's going to strike you dead because maybe you yelled at your mother this morning or your sweetheart or your spouse or whatever. You know, it's all right. Right this very moment, just say, yes, I want to accept you. And last week we had a lady, and it was so refreshing because she was brought up the same way I was, and then many of you were too. And to break those chains and just realize you can talk to Jesus anywhere, even in the shower and other places in the bathroom. Okay? Any place. You don't have to have a priest right there, because we have a priest right there who's always there for us. So it's so refreshing. So if you haven't done it, just right now in your heart, just ask him to come in, and you want to make him master of your life.
Okay, hold on.
It's so refreshing.
Hold on. Don't leave. Ladies, if you're back there or whoever's serving, if you'll come forward and start passing the elements. As they pass the elements, I'm going to ask Joy a question or two here, but as they pass those elements, would you hold on to them? We'll partake of them together. So as they bring the elements forward, Charlie, if you'll just come right up here. Joy, you know, none of this is scripted. This is just, you often hear me say, to live in the dangerous wonder of knowing God.
Yes.
To have that joy and that wonder of knowing God. When I say that, to live in that wonder of knowing God, what does that mean to you?
It means to let go of all my plans that day and just say, okay, God, what do you have for me today? And when he asks me to do something and I start to shake in my boots, and then when I do it, I'm so blessed, and it's like I'm flying because I'm his child. And it makes it real.
So, do you ever have an experience in your life where perhaps God's asked you to do something that you don't feel adequate in doing?
Oh, yes. Many times.
And what do you do?
When I do it, and I just let go of myself and completely give of myself to him, I get so blessed. You, and many of you have done this, and you know that. You give, and he gives back a million times more. As he just blesses you so.
You know, one of my favorite verses, different translations, that he that refreshes is refreshed. He that watereth is watered. You are a waterer. You are a refresher. Do you at times, though, feel that same refreshment from the Lord back and from others back?
Yes, but I have to seek him every day. And I used to think, because many of us women think, we have a recipe card. This is what we do every day. And one day he said, I didn't tell you to stop right now and read your Bible. I want you to listen to me. And sometimes he says, put down that Bible and go call somebody, this person right now. Or walk across the street and give this lady some flowers. And I'm going, what? And he just, it's amazing. He's an amazing God.
The wonder of God, as I've seen for you at times, is you have, and I've been a recipient of much of this, is that you will write cards. You make cards. I know many have had those cards. What pushes you or touches you to do that? I mean, they're not for like birthday, or they're just the spirit cards is what they are.
And that's what it is. It's listening to God. Just listening. And sometimes he says send a card. Sometimes he says call. Sometimes he says use the greatest tool you have, prayer.
Yeah.
And that is. That's our greatest tool.
It says on the night that he was betrayed, he took this bread. He used it as a symbol of his body that was broken, bruised for us. That he gave it as that lamb, that paschal lamb, the sacrificial lamb, the final lamb given for us. That in that, we can know life. We can know the life that he's given for us. Let's partake together. It also says on that same night that he took the cup. The cup was the new covenant, not the old covenant, not the spirit or the letter, not the letter that was written on the tablets, but the spirit of the law, the spirit of the Lord that gives life. The letter of the law doesn't bring life. The spirit of the Lord Jesus brings life. And this new covenant is a covenant that Joy mentioned is of grace, that we don't deserve anything, but God imputes his righteousness to us. That's grace, not getting what we do deserve, an unmerited favor. And he sent his son to die for us, we might have life and have it to the fullest. Not just when we get to heaven, but right here, right now. That new beginning, that new life that he offers us is available through the table that we celebrate today. So he gives us as a new covenant, a symbol of his blood that was shed for us. Let's participate together. Let's pray together. Thank you, Joy. Father God, as we come this morning, may we understand that how much you love us, and nothing can separate us from that love. May we continue to trust and to rest in you. May we seek to know you and the wonder of knowing you, being sensitive to your leading in our life. Thank you that it's your confidence and your adequacy. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Steve, would you come up here? We have started this today. We're starting a new series, basically. Hi. Now, I know what you're doing, because not only are you going to, I'm going to toss you curveballs, as you know that, but you're also listening, aren't you? You're listening to this thing, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, usually when Steve talks, he talks up here, I don't understand a word he's saying, and I tell him that, like, dumb it down, dude, okay, for me. But I had such a great conversation. We're starting a series on my favorite things. I've asked you, so maybe you have, many of you in this last frame did it, just the last service. They're still available on the tables. I'd love for you to encourage you to put your name, the verse, the passage, or the biblical story, what is important to you, and then why. Why did you choose this? And as I went through them, as Paul and I went through them, man, there's just some phenomenal, I mean, we were blown away. We each start gravitating. It was interesting how Paul and I gravitated to the ones that we're going to speak on. But I've almost come to the conclusion that I'm just going to compile them all, perhaps pull the names off them, I don't know, but we're going to compile them all so you can see just the lessons that God has taught through the words. We can't cover all those that God has sent in through you folks. But when I read yours, I felt like it resonated with me. And Paul and I talked about the resonation, that it just resonated within us. And I think a lot of people have this same feeling at times. And yours just kind of just like summed it up. That I think we all at times feel this way. So first, tell them who you are and what you do. And then we'll read your verse, okay? All right, so tell them who you are, what you do. Okay. Dumb it down, okay?
All I can do is say it. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
I'm Steve Earhart. I'm a computer system administrator at the University of the Pacific. Basically, that means anything related to infrastructure, storage, email, any of that kind of stuff. We're the guys who try to keep it running.
Yeah, fix it.
We hopefully just keep it running. Fixing it means something broke.
Yeah. Steve's been a great help in our sound, trying to fix things. And to keep it going, which sometimes is near impossible. But I so appreciate what he does. I appreciate the knowledge he has, though I don't understand it at all. I appreciate that God's given you many of people like you in our church to understand things. Let's read this verse, and then I want you to sum what you wrote here for me, okay? Put the verse up. Do we have that, Marva? There you go. You read it for us, Steve.
And such confidence we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Tell us why that verse is so important to you and what you said about that here, and why does it resonate within you?
As I kind of wrote there, get up every morning and it's like, I look at what I've got to get done today and the things I have not gotten done, and just there's so much that I should get to and never get to, and there's items that I just can't seem to face and they sit around forever, and I just, you know, it's like, I can't deal with this. So first thing in the morning, the one time I'm very consistent about prayer, it's like, Lord, please get me through this day. I have no idea how I'm going to deal with these things.
Yeah. Can I read what you wrote here? Because I think it summed it up, and this is what resonated within us. I wake up most every morning feeling inadequate to what I have coming at me. This verse reminds me that I have more going for me than just me. And in the first service, you mentioned not just in a task-oriented of your job, but even in your personal life, the issues of sometimes it's easy to avoid things, we feel inadequate. We may get proud and think, I can do this, and God reminds us that we can't. But the inadequacy, I think it's something that we all resonate and feel like I'm inadequate for the job that God's called me to do, perhaps even vocationally, but as well as even being a believer. And that resonated within me. Was I missing that in what you said, or was that, is that part of your life, feeling the adequacy comes from God?
It has to be, because it certainly isn't coming from me.
Yeah. So that feeling of, how do you see that demonstrated in God working in you? Because I'm kind of taking the thunder away, but in the first service, when I asked you what changes, how do you see this, you said the only way I see it is that I'm changing. I change. Explain that.
It's a very slow, gradual process. Sadly, very, very slow. But you see ways to deal with the issues of, well, okay, I'm going to give a plug for life groups here.
Okay. I'll let you do that for life groups.
Okay. Life group this last week.
What life group are you in, can I ask?
Mike's.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
He may be as well, actually.
He's not. He's not sorry. I'm not. Now, don't let me go tongue-in-cheek here. He's not. He's glad that you're in his group. He has said so. So he has said so. I don't want people to think that we were joking there. Go ahead, life groups.
One of the things I don't do enough, I don't pray. And it's like I'm going to throw an analogy out here. You ever walk around your house and there's something just sitting there, and after some point you realize, why is that still sitting there? You know, it's like you've totally forgotten that it was there. There are things I should be praying about, and I don't even think about them. It's like, hold on, I should have been praying for this person. And one of the things, how do you find a consistent time to pray? And somebody, I'm not sure how this came out, but, you know, what about praying while you drive to work in the morning? Okay, that's one time I really don't have any interruptions. Unless, of course, the traffic goes berserk. So I've been doing that all this week. It's an amazing change. Mm. But it's little, you know, very small steps like that.
Yeah. But puts your dependence and your confidence from God and not on yourself.
Yeah. Well, then the fact that I'm actually out there going to Him, which I was not doing as much, never have done as much as I should.
Yeah. Yeah. So you see in ways where you realize you are inadequate at times, but that He is our adequacy.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what I think we all deal with feelings, or maybe it's just Paul and I, but we have those feelings of I'm just inadequate in relationships before God, in our job, in our production, whatever it is, the feeling of inadequacy. And yet this verse is amazing verse. We talked about it, why more people don't know of this verse, but that our confidence and our significance and everything comes from God. That balance of being pride or arrogant or being humble and confident before God within that. And I think that's so important. And so it resonated with Paul and I, especially as what we talked about. I think we all have feelings of inadequacy at times that we're just not up for this. And yet God has been so faithful within that. Any last comment?
No, I think I've done enough harm.
All right. Let me pray and then we'll continue here in just a moment. Father God, I'm thankful for Steve. I'm thankful that he brings to bear in this simple piece of paper such a deep-seated feeling that we feel incompetent, that at times we feel inadequate. And that's where we should be, because the opposite is being proud, having pride. God, we want to be humble and at the same time confident within you. You give us your confidence. May we understand that. May we deal with the issues of self-esteem and inadequacy. But may we, just as he said, may we turn to you. May we seek your face. May we give you our day and our situations, be it vocationally, be it relationally, be it the hurts of our lives, may we give it to you. Father, may we realize you make us significant. You give us our adequacy. Our image is nothing to others. It's about you. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for Steve's life and your sons. Let me pray. Amen. Thank you, Steve. This morning, you're not here by mistake. I don't know. Maybe it's the worship. Maybe you really needed this message. I can tell you for a fact that Paul and I needed this message. Paul came to me. I'm going to tell on you. That's okay. Paul came to me and says, if Steve can't do this, I can. I can talk about inadequacy. You know, we all take into every situation feeling like, God, why are you using me? I'm not worthy to be used. I'm not worthy. I can't do this job. We try to please everybody else. We try to please everybody else, but when it comes down to our significance can only be found in Him. Nothing comes from ourselves. Our adequacy is found in Christ. May I tell you today that your significance has nothing to do with the people around you. You may think it does, but it doesn't. Because the people around you at some point in time will fail. Your heart will hurt. And you'll feel totally inadequate. And that's when God says, listen to the deep dark night of the soul. I am your sufficiency. It is easy to say He is all you need. But you really can't say that with depth until He is all that you have. And when our inadequacy feels so great, that's where we need to say, God, you are my adequacy. You may be here today and needed a new beginning. Do you realize every morning, every morning I wake up and I begin to pray because, am I facing the day? That's what God wants us to do. He says His mercies are new every morning. That grace that gives us every morning. When we fail, we still have that grace every moment. Nothing will separate you from the love of the Lord Jesus. Nothing. Our adequacy, you may be fighting that battle today of not being secure, not knowing who you are. And He says, listen, who you are is found only in me, in the Lord Jesus. I make you significant. Your boss doesn't. You may like the accolades, but he doesn't make you significant. She doesn't make you significant. Your spouse doesn't make you significant. Your spouse isn't going to be your sufficiency. Only the Lord Jesus. Now you may be here this morning and you may say, I need a new change. Guess what? Right now you're here. Your adequacy, you're here. And God says, I'm going to meet your need. You're here. And He is with us. As you drive to work, as you're at work, He's your adequacy. He's your confidence. He is our sufficiency. The letter that people need to read of our life is Him, nothing else. The letter that our life puts out that people see is that the one we please, the one we hope to endeavor to ascribe to adore, is the Lord Jesus. We will never get significance from someone else, only Him. We're going to close with a video. This video talks about a new beginning. But I want you to be affirmed you're here, and that's where you need to be. And God can speak to you right now, right here. And that new beginning you need, maybe you need to shed the weight of trying to please everybody, shed the weight of being inadequate in ourselves, and say, God, I can only be adequate to you because it's what you give me. My confidence is because of you. And put the anxiety away of trying to please everybody else. To say, God, I do what I can do to honor and glorify you, and everything else is secondary. God is here, you are here. And God is a God of life. Let's watch the video.
So things haven't turned out as you hoped. Life took a turn. A bump. A darkened sky. And at times it may have seemed there was no hope. But here's the good news. Our God is the God of fresh starts. Our God is the God of new beginnings. God brings new mercies, new compassions, not just once a year, not just when things are bad, but every single morning. This season has been tough, and for many of us, things will never be the same. But we are here, breathing, maybe smiling, or crying, or shouting, or laughing. But we are here. seeking or grieving, we are here, living. We are not alone. Our God is here. Our God is with us. And our God is the God of new creations.
God, this morning as we come, I know your Spirit can make application to every heart here in ways that I could never even attempt. God, we're here and we're listening. You're here and you're wanting to speak. Speak to every heart. God, may you challenge us and change us. For those who need a new beginning, may we take comfort in knowing that you are a God of new creation. That grace of forgiveness every day. The mercies that you give us every day. And God, may we realize we're not alone here. Not only are you here, but God, may we realize as well that this is a family gathered around your table wanting to support each other. May we do that. Thank you for life groups, even as Steve mentioned, that can support us, challenge us. And God, if somebody's here today and they have wrestled with significance and wrestled with adequacy and wrestled with esteem, God, I pray that they will find it only in you. That they will trust in you. God, I'm just overwhelmed that you love us so much. So God, I pray that this morning you will make every heart sensitive to the leading of your Spirit in our lives. Speak to each of us. We're so thankful for the cross, because without the cross and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we would never know life. And yet you've given us life to the full. Bless every heart here. In your Son's name we pray.